Well, good morning. We're continuing in Mark's Gospel in chapter 3 today. The passage is Mark chapter 3, verses 7 to 12. Mark chapter 3, verses 7 to 12. I've put two words is a heading over this passage, under pressure, under pressure. Jesus withdrew with his disciples to the sea, and a great crowd followed from Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem and Idumea and from beyond the Jordan and from around Tyre and Sidon. When the great crowd heard all that he was doing, they came to him, and he told his disciples to have a boat ready for him because of the crowd, lest they crush him. For he had healed many, so that all who had diseases pressed around him to touch him. And whenever the unclean spirits saw him, they fell down before him and cried out, "You are the Son of God." And he strictly ordered them not to make him known. Amen. May God bless his word. You know, as you read through Mark's Gospel, when you come to this passage and to Mark chapter 3, verse 7, it's almost as though Mark presses the pause button. You know, the non-stop activity of the Lord Jesus as he goes about his ministry in the opening chapters of this gospel, you know, it's just amazing. It's just breathtaking how busy the Lord Jesus was in his day-to-day life. It was non-stop. There was no respite for him. You read the opening chapters and you're exhausted just reading it. You know, for example, if we go back to chapter 1, and Mark in chapter 1, he gives us an insight into just one day in the life of the Lord Jesus. You know, in verse 21 of chapter 1, he's in the synagogue in Capernaum and he's teaching. And there he has to deal with a man who is demon-possessed, a man with an unclean spirit. And Jesus demonstrates his power, his authority over demons. And then in verse 29, from the synagogue, he then goes to the house of Simon Peter, where Simon's mother-in-law is ill with a fever. And again, Jesus has to cure her of her fever, and he demonstrates his power over disease. And then wait for it, just when you were thinking that, you know, evening was coming and he could put his feet up and he could rest, the whole city turns up at the door of the house. In verse 32, that evening at sundown, they were brought to him all who were sick or oppressed by demons, and the whole city was gathered together at the door. All of these events in a single day in the life of the Lord Jesus. And it goes on. Verse 35, he rises very early the next morning to go out to a desolate place. He wants to be alone. He wants to pray to his Father to be undisturbed. But not even there can the Lord Jesus find rest. The disciples come looking for him. And in verse 37, Simon finds Jesus and he says, "Lord, everyone is looking for you. Come on." This was how Jesus lived. This was the ministry of the Lord Jesus. It was relentless. It was non-stop. And when you get to chapter 3, verse 7, it's almost as though, as I said, Mark presses the pause button. And Jesus withdraws. Verse 7 of chapter 3, Jesus withdrew with his disciples to the sea. Phew. Time to relax. Time to recuperate. Time to take in the sea air. Time to recharge the batteries. Not a bit of it. We'll see that shortly. Jesus withdraws. You know, I think this was a deliberate withdrawal by the Lord Jesus in verse 7. You'll find this throughout the ministry of the Lord Jesus, that at certain times he withdrew himself. Sometimes to be alone, you know, to spend time in prayer. Sometimes to be with his disciples, to teach them, to train them, to spend time with them. You know, I think this withdrawal in verse 7 is linked to the preceding verse in verse 6. And in verse 6, we read about the Pharisees, you know, the religious leaders of the nation. And we read about another group of Jews, the Herodians. They were a political group. They were affiliated and loyal to Herod. And you know, normally these two groups, the Pharisees and the Herodians, they would have been at loggerheads with each other. But here in verse 6, we read that they are actually united together. And they are united together in their opposition against Jesus. They held counsel. They came together to talk and to discuss how they might destroy Jesus. And so Jesus withdraws, not out of any sense of fear, but his time has not come. You know, his time to be arrested, to be delivered up, had not come. Now, as we think about the withdrawal of the Lord Jesus, as we think about Mark pressing the pause button here in the ministry of the Lord Jesus, I want to think about three things. And Alvis, maybe you can put the next slide up. Three simple headings, and this is very simple. I want to think about pressure. Verses 7 to 9, pressure. The pressure that Jesus faced during his life. I don't think anyone ever faced such pressure, such enormous, relentless, unceasing pressure that the Lord Jesus faced. I want to think about his power in verses 10 to 11, and then thirdly, his person in verses 11 to 12. Pressure, power, and person. You know, I guess due to the success, or maybe the impact is a more appropriate word, the impact of the ministry of the Lord Jesus, he faced enormous pressure. He was under colossal pressure. And as we look at these five or so verses in Mark chapter 3, there are two specific sources of pressure bearing down upon Jesus at this time. First of all, there is the pressure of the crowd, the multitudes, the people thronging him, pressuring him. You know, this is the pressure of his fame. The pressure of his celebrity, if you like, at the time. You know, his fame had spread throughout the country. It had brought crowds of thousands upon thousands to see him and to touch him. You know, you go back to chapter 1, and, you know, after he cast out the unclean spirit from the man in the synagogue in Capernaum, we read in verse 28 that at once his fame spread everywhere throughout all the surrounding region of Galilee. Simon's house, we thought about the whole city gathered together at the door of the house where Jesus was. And in verse 45 of chapter 1, after Jesus cleanses a leper, Mark comments that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town. But he was out in desolate places, and people were coming to him from every quarter. You know, this was the pressure of fame, the pressure of his celebrity, as Jesus healed people and cast out demons. You know, the crowds thronged him. This had never been seen before or since, this level of so-called fame. You know, we travelled back last Sunday from Australia. We had been on holiday in Australia, and Saturday, Sunday were spent in an airplane traveling back home to Aberdeen. And you know, it's amazing that the rubbish you will watch when you're cooped up in an airplane. I ended up watching a documentary about George Harrison, one of the Beatles, for the younger folks, the Beatles, one of the, if not the biggest band ever. And in the documentary, he was talking about the pressure of fame, what it was like to live with that level of celebrity, that level of fame. And he talked about, you know, when the Beatles went over to New York, you know, to tour America, to crack the big American market. And, you know, the crowds were just mental. You know, thousands and thousands of predominantly young girls following them wherever they went and screaming and crying and all the rest of it. And he mentioned when he went to New York, they had to book out an entire floor of the New York Plaza Hotel. An entire floor, just to try and get away from the crowds. But then he remarked that even then, the four Beatles ended up cooped together in a bathroom in this floor because they couldn't get away from the crowd. They could only get away by going into this tiny little bathroom, the four of them. The pressure of fame. Here is Jesus in Mark chapter 3, and he withdraws in verse 7. And even when he withdraws, the crowds follow him. A great crowd in verse 7 follows him. You know, this was likely, you know, a crowd probably in the tens of thousands. This crowd is from Galilee up in the north. It's from Idumea down in the extreme south. In verse 8, the crowd comes from beyond Jordan in the east. It's from the west around Tyre and Sidon. The north, south, east and west, people from all over, from every quarter are coming to see Jesus. And it's not just Jews. There are non-Jews, there are Gentiles from Idumea, from Tyre and Sidon. They're coming to see Jesus. They've heard about all Jesus was doing, his power over disease and demons. But I want you to understand that the pressure Jesus faced was not just the pressure of fame. This wasn't just the pressure of the crowd. This was the pressure of the crowd and all of its need bearing down upon him. This crowd is frantic. This crowd is desperate. Look at verse 10 of chapter 3. For he had healed many so that all who had diseases pressed around him to touch him. They didn't just want to see Jesus. They wanted to touch him. They wanted their diseases healed. You know, medical care in those days must have been very, very limited. There was no NHS. They wanted their diseases dealt with. They wanted their illnesses taken away from them. They wanted delivered from their demons. You know, and sadly, that's where their interest in Jesus ended. And we'll think about that later on. They weren't concerned about spiritual things in their lives. They weren't concerned about the real issue of their sin. They weren't concerned about who Jesus really was. They wanted the quick fix. And so the crowds are thronging Jesus and they are literally pressing down on Jesus, so much so that they presented a real danger, a physical danger to Jesus. In verse 9, he has to tell his disciples to organize a boat, a little boat, on standby in case the crowd crush him. Verse 10, all who had diseases pressed around him. It literally means that people were rushing towards him and falling upon him. You drop down to verse 20 and you discover, you know, Jesus is at home and he can't even eat a meal because of the pressure of the crowd. The pressure of the crowd and all their need bearing down upon Jesus. You know, this is the fulfillment of Isaiah 53 that Alex read earlier on. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. He took the nation's illnesses and diseases upon himself. The pressure bearing down upon Jesus. Not only was there the pressure of the crowd bearing down upon Jesus, but there was the pressure of the opposition that he faced during his life. Persistent, pernicious opposition. And it came from a variety of sources. It came from the nation's religious leaders. You know, we thought about that in verse 6. They watched him like a hawk. They scrutinized every movement, every action. They listened to every word. You know, just to have something to use against him. And the Lord Jesus had constant collisions with them. He had three confrontations with them in chapter 2. And we read about one in Mark chapter 3, verse 6. They wanted to destroy him. He also faced opposition in the spiritual realm. Satanic opposition. You know, the demons are here in verse 11. Satan and his demonic forces arrayed against the Lord Jesus. And you can follow that throughout the life of the Lord Jesus. Right up until the cross, Jesus said, "Now is your hour and the power of darkness." And then surprisingly, he faced opposition even from within his own family. You know, you see that later in the chapter in verse 21. His own family, the family of Mary, his half-brothers, his half-sisters, they thought he was mad. He is out of his mind in verse 21. And they pitch up to take him away. They're embarrassed. You know, maybe you're the only Christian in your family. Maybe they think you're mad. You know, all this Christianity, all this following Jesus stuff. And maybe they make your life difficult. Maybe they ridicule you for your faith in Christ. And you're struggling living with the pressure of that. Jesus faced enormous pressure during his life. And even when he withdrew, he couldn't escape it. We live in days of pressure. People are under pressure. From every age, people are under pressure. We live in days of pressure. Children at school, you know, facing peer pressure. Pressured into behaving in a certain way. Pressured into doing certain things that perhaps they don't want to do. You know, I remember at school, I think it was first year or second year, the guidance teacher gathered all the boys in my year into the auditorium, and he came in and he addressed us all, and he was furious. And he had a piece of chalk, and he wrote two words on the blackboard, peer pressure. And then he was called out to attend to something else. And I remember clearly the school hard man, a guy called Gary Cox, he convinced someone else to go up to the blackboard and rub out the two words. You know, you talk about peer pressure. Quite ironic. And the guidance teacher came in and... You could be a Christian struggling at school, struggling at university, under pressure to lose your identity in Christ, under pressure to get caught up in a certain lifestyle. Pressure to drink, pressure to take drugs, pressure to have sex. Maybe it's the pressure of opposition that you face for being a Christian. Students facing the pressure of exams, the pressure of finding a placement, the pressure of finding a job. Parents facing the daily pressures of raising a family. Mothers struggling, you know, with the pressure of organizing the children and what else is to be organized. Pressure at work. Deadlines, workload, trying to balance family and work life and church life. Maybe you've lost your job. That's pressure. Financial worries, you know, problems at home, problems in the family, problems in your marriage, that's pressure. Health concerns. I spoke to a lady this week, a wife of a friend of mine, early 50s, and she told me that her cancer had returned. And she'd already had treatment for this second bout of cancer. And she told me she was having major surgery. And she said to me, it's my last chance. Wednesday afternoon, she told me. That's pressure. We live in days of pressure. And as you sit in your seat today, you may be under pressure. And you feel it closing in on you and swamping down upon you. How do you release that pressure? How did Jesus release this pressure? Well, there were two things. In verses 13 to 19, he did two things. And I know I'm jumping into next week's passage, but there's just two points I want to make. Firstly, in verse 13, he went up the mountain. To do what? Not to see the view or anything like that. Mark doesn't tell us, but if you read the parallel passage in Luke chapter 6, you'll discover that he went up the mountain to spend the night in prayer with God. But secondly, not only did he release the pressure through praying, he also shared. Because he appointed in those verses 12 apostles, 12 men that would be with him. He would live with them and he would teach them and he would train them and he would send them and he would give them authority and they would continue his work after he had gone. He released the pressure by praying and sharing. And I just want to tell you, if you're here today and you are under intense pressure in your life, Jesus knows what it's like. Jesus knows what it's like to be under enormous pressure. He can identify with you. He knows the pressure that you are experiencing. But will you follow his example? Will you release that pressure? Will you take that pressure and get into the presence of God and take it to God in prayer? You know, 1 Peter 5, verse 7, casting all your cares, all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Quite often when we are under pressure, it's prayer that often we neglect. Because your mind is restless, you can't think, you can't concentrate. Or perhaps, you know, you've lost faith in God. Why would God allow this to happen to me? God doesn't care about me, and the last thing you want to do is pray. God wants you to come to him. God wants you to put your hand in His and for God to take you and lead you and guide you through it. The other release is to share. You know, that's part of the fellowship of the church, to be able to share our pressures and share our burdens with each other. And again, quite often when you're under pressure, you know, you withdraw, you become isolated, you withdraw socially. You maybe stop coming to church and you lose confidence. You don't share with others. Sometimes we're under pressure because we try to do everything ourselves and we should share with others. Jesus released the pressure through praying and sharing. The pressure Jesus faced. Now, secondly, and very briefly, in the passage we see the power of Jesus. You know, His power over the physical realm in verse 10. His power over disease. He healed many. We've seen that time and time again in Mark chapters 1 and 2. In verse 11, it's His power over the spiritual realm. You know, whenever the unclean spirits saw Him, they fell down before Him. You know, the demons trembled before Him. James chapter 2 verse 19, even the demons believe and tremble. They fell down before Him. The power of Jesus over the natural and the supernatural realms. And then thirdly, His person. You know, I find this point very sad, very poignant. All these thousands, these tens of thousands of people pressuring the Lord Jesus, and they missed the truth. They missed the truth about who He really was, and they missed the truth about why He had come. They missed the really important point about Jesus. And it took, in verse 11, the testimony of demons to reveal the majesty of His person. The demons, when they saw Him, they fell down before Him and cried out, "You are the Son of God." No one from the crowd cried out, "You are the Son of God." It was demons. Jesus didn't want the testimony of demons. He didn't want the testimony of hell, verse 12. He strictly ordered them not to make Him known. And the crowds missed it. They weren't interested in spiritual things. They only wanted to be healed of their diseases, for their problems to be taken away, to be released from the unclean spirits. They didn't care about their spiritual condition. They didn't care about their sin or about the Savior who stood before them and who had come to save them and to take away their sin. They missed the big picture. And here's the real important lesson of this passage from Mark chapter 3, that whatever pressures you are facing in life, don't be like the crowds. See beyond the pressures. See the real issue that has to be dealt with in your life. Don't miss the person and power of Jesus Christ. He is the Son of God. And He came to deal with your sin. That is the real issue in life, to have your sin dealt with. The writer to the Hebrews says, He came to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself on the cross. Not only did Jesus face the pressure of everyday life during His ministry that we've thought about, He faced the pressure of the cross. He faced the pressure of the cross for you and for me. To save you. To save you from your sins. So that now if you will come to Him believing that he is the Son of God, but more than just believing, prepared to surrender your life to him, he will save you. And he will put his spirit within you. And he will give you new life. He will give you everlasting life. And he will lead you. And he will guide you through life. And he will never leave you. And he will never forsake you. And when you are under intense pressure, he will take you by the hand and he will lead you and take you through it, because he's been there before. And if you don't know Jesus Christ today as your Lord and Savior, then listen to his invitation to you. He says, come. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Will you come? We'll close in prayer. Father, we bow before you and we thank you for the Lord Jesus. We thank you for such a Savior. We thank you, Father, for how he lived, for how he honored you. And we thank you, Father, for his sacrificial death on the cross. Father, we just pray that you would speak to each one of us here today, that your Holy Spirit would touch our lives. You know the pressures that we face. And Father, we pray that they may cause us to be driven into your presence. We pray for anybody here that doesn't know the Lord Jesus as their Savior. Father, that you would touch their heart today. Pray that they may come to know him and trust him. And so, Father, we just thank you now and ask for your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.